You are Locked On Orioles, your daily podcast on the Baltimore Orioles, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles, your place for Orioles news and analysis from the clubhouse to the warehouse and beyond. As always, I'm your host, Justin McGuire. Well, folks, I'm not going to sugarcoat it. The Orioles had a terrible weekend against the Twins at Camden Yards. I'm sure you watched the games, or at least as much of them as you could stomach. It was just a disastrous performance overall. Let's start with the offense. In three games against the Twins, the Orioles managed 11 hits and 5 runs. That's not good. A lot of the hitters in the lineup look like they've never faced a breaking ball before, and really nobody is showing much signs of life. We've already talked about Thursday's game, which the Orioles won on a walk-off homer by Adam Jones, but even in that game, the offense didn't do much until late in the game. The Orioles were just completely overmatched by the Twins' starting pitchers the entire series, and it's really a continuation of how bad things looked in September of last year. So people who are looking for a bright side in this year, and maybe were hoping that the Orioles' performance in the spring was a sign of things to come, now let's just say it's not looking good so far. And to make things worse, the Orioles now head to Houston, where they're going to face one of the best pitching staffs in all of baseball, Charlie Morton, the hero of Game 7 of last year's World Series, future Hall of Famer Justin Verlander, and former Cy Young winner Dallas Keuchel. So that doesn't bode well for the Orioles getting their bats going. You never know, it's baseball, but I'm not really optimistic that this is going to be the series they get things going. And let's not even talk about what comes after that when they face the Yankees. We'll get to that later in the week. The other problem is that starting pitching has been abysmal. We talked about Dylan Bundy, who was brilliant in Game 1, but the next two starts looked terrible. Andrew Cashner gave up 3 homers and 5 runs in 5 innings, and didn't look effective at all. I know we've talked about this on the podcast several times, but his 2017 numbers were a bit of an illusion if you look underneath the hood a bit. His ERA was not really indicative of how he performed, and so I think the Orioles have to be very concerned about his first outing. If this guy's going to give up homers, he's going to be extremely ineffective, and we're looking at Wade Miley Part 2. Even more worrisome to me is that Kevin Gausman looked awful on Sunday. He also gave up a bunch of homers, gave up 6 earned runs, and just was not effective at all. And if the Orioles are going to do anything in 2018, they're going to need an effective Gausman. He's the one, besides Bundy, that they were expecting anything from going into this season. And with Cashner looking bad and Alex Cobb not available till the middle of the month, Gausman was counted on to give significant innings. And now you got to give some credit to the Twins. They are a good team. They have some good hitters and good pitchers. But man, the Orioles looked bad all series. And it was a home series. It was a first series of the year. And you got to be discouraged by things, unfortunately. And as I said, the worst part now is that they go into Houston, where the Astros are going to get their World Series rings. They're going to unveil their World Series banner. And they're playing like World Series champions, both as offensively and in terms of their pitching. This is going to be a really tough series for the Orioles, with Chris Tillman and Mike Wright both starting. And frankly, I think the team is going to be lucky if they can take 1 out of 3 against the Astros before they go on to play the Yankees in another series against one of baseball's best teams. As I've said on the podcast earlier, this April schedule is brutal. And if the Orioles are going to be playing like this, it's just going to be ugly. Realistically, this team's fate could be sealed by the end of the month. They could honestly be out of any realistic contention for the second wildcard spot by the time the calendar turns to May. I hope I'm wrong about that, and I hope things turn around and they can at least tread water, maybe finish 500 for the month. But based on the first 3 games, I'm not optimistic about that. There's one other weird thing that came out of the weekend that I wanted to address. As you probably heard or read on Twitter, some of the Twins were not happy that Chance Sisko bunted in the 9th inning of Sunday's game when the Orioles were trailing 7-0. This happened at a time when the Twins had put on the shift against Sisko, who's of course a left-handed hitter. And apparently this violates some sort of unwritten rule that I'd never heard about before. It's not like the Twins had a no-hitter going or anything, and they did put the shift on. So to my way of thinking, if they're going to put themselves in a competitive advantage by putting the shift on, they can't be mad when the other team bunts to take advantage of that shit. And it seems like a bunch of crap to me, to be honest with you. I didn't even see Twins fans defending the Twins on this one. It's a very odd thing, and I hate for the Orioles to be involved with a dumb controversy so early in the season when they have so many other things to be worried about, namely the state of their baseball team. Okay, let's move on to that next series that I mentioned when the Orioles are going to be playing the Houston Astros. We're joined today by Eric Heisman. He writes about the Astros for Climbing Towels Hill, a blog that's part of the Fansided Network, and he's also part of a radio show called Talking Stros. He's going to give us a preview of the defending World Series champs and tell us what we can expect in Houston. And let's just say it's probably not going to be pleasant. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Locked On Orioles. We are joined now by Eric Heisman. He is an expert with Climbing Towels Hill, which is an excellent Astros blog, and he also works on the radio show Talking Stros, and he's going to talk to us a little bit about the Astros and what Orioles fans can expect in this three-game series starting Monday. Welcome, Eric.
Thanks for having me on.
Well, I appreciate it. All right, so just to bring fans up to speed, I can't remember, what did the Astros do anything last year? I don't remember exactly how the season ended for them.
Well, I think they went out and traded for Justin Verlander. That's the only thing I remember. I mean, the rest of it was just a blur. So, the Astros actually won their first World Series title in franchise history. And we got close to doing it in 2005 if it weren't for the White Sox sweeping us. But other than that, last year was a great year for Houston fans. And with the Rockets going, it could be a great year for Houston in general, just because both teams are playing on top of their games, and you could see a championship with the Rockets and the Astros right now.
Yeah, so we're talking about the Astros, and obviously we mentioned again they won the World Series last year, but I think the thing for us right now is to look at the 2018 Astros, and you know, from what we can tell, there's no reason to think that they've taken anything except steps forward at this point. They have Justin Verlander for the whole season. They added Gerrit Cole. And that offense and the defense, everything seems to be strong and young. And this is a really top-notch team that is expected to win a lot of games this year, isn't it?
Yes, and even if we have some injuries like we've had over the past 2 years with Dallas Keuchel and Lance McCullers, then we have Colin McHugh in the bullpen. And like I'm sure the Giants could use Colin McHugh right now. There's a whole bunch of teams who can use Peacock as well. But those guys are our backups, and we got some great guys in AAA as well who could be ready for to join the rotation at some point this year. But it's the rotation is the strength of this team. And yes, Dallas Keuchel didn't pitch his best game on the second game on Friday, but he did keep the team in the game. It just, for some reason, Doug freaking Fisher shut the Astros offense down, and I think the Astros took exception to that, and they pounded the Rangers the next 2 days.
All right. Well, I think that in terms of pounding pitching staffs, I think you might have some good opportunities coming up here in the next couple games. Well, let's talk about Monday first, folks. I know one thing that's really going to be special for Astros fans is I believe that is the day that the players get their World Series rings, is it not?
Yes, that is. No, that would be – sorry, I'm trying to – but no, that would be Tuesday.
Tuesday.
Tomorrow
okay.
will be when they unveil the banner.
Okay.
And
all right.
So that's gonna be exciting itself because tickets are really expensive. They're going for about $120 right now. So that's the highest I think we've ever seen for opening day right now. But tomorrow's gonna be the revealing the banner, and then on Tuesday will be when all the players get the ring ceremonies. And I think they're doing like 900 World Series rings. They're doing it not just for players, not just front office, but even all the vendors and the people who worked for the Astros last year. So it's really exciting that they did that. But another reason why they pushed it back to Tuesday is they're hoping that Yuli Gurriel would be back, and he will be back and in the lineup from what I hear, even though he had surgery just about a month ago.
All right, well, let's talk about the lineup a little bit. You mentioned that they pounded the Rangers a couple times. What can the Orioles expect in terms of what can the Orioles expect in terms of production from that lineup? Who's hitting well so far? Who can we expect to be getting on base and putting runs on the board?
Well, you got to start with the AL MVP. Jose Altuve has not hit a homer yet, but he's batting .563 right now, and he has two RBIs. He already has a stolen base, and he's doing really well so far. But Carlos Correa is almost as good, and he did hit a homer yesterday, but he's batting .438 right now with a 1.313 OPS. Brian McCann has got off to a pretty good start, but the surprise so far has been Max Stassi. He's been kind of one of those prospects who was supposed to really exceed, but he hasn't really found his niche yet due to injuries, but he looks like he's going to be the backup catchers for the Astros this year. But Springer, despite that leadoff homer to lead off the season, he hasn't really got going yet. He does have three hits, but and a double, but he's batting .200 right now. So who can we expect to get on base? I think Springer's going to feel a lot more comfortable at home. I think we'll see Yuli Gurriel get back on base pretty soon. And I think what happened in game two of this series, why the Astros had trouble scoring, was they started a lot of the young kids. Like, they started Derek Fisher. They also started Max Stassi. And Doug Fisher just found a way to get out. So this lineup is very deep. We do have some young kids who could be easy outs, but Derek Fisher got his first hit of the season today, and it was a RBI triple. So he could be somebody who could look at a breakout. But this lineup, there's no easy outs on here. This is not the Adam Everett Astros anymore. This is where we have a lot of power up and down the lineup.
All right, well, let's look at the pitching matchups here, because they're let's just say not favorable to the Orioles. I'll put you that way. game one, we've got Chris Tillman going for the Orioles and Morton going for the Astros. And this will be his first start of the year, correct?
Right. And they did this because they wanted him to start the home opener because he was the Game 7 World Series hero. So they wanted him to get the start on the mound.
And how did he do in spring? How is he looking right now?
I think he had one bad outing. I don't remember who it was against, but he finished spring strong at Minute Park last Tuesday, I believe it was, and he struck out 8 Brewers in 5 innings. So he had a very good spring, except for one start. I think he gave up like 8 runs that start, but other than that, he had a great spring training, and he's one of those guys who would be probably a number 3 pitcher on most teams, but he's a fifth starter on this team, just how deep the pitching rotation is.
Right, and Chris Tillman is coming off a rough spring after a rough year last year, so again, that's not a pitching matchup the Orioles are looking forward to, but I think anytime Tillman takes the mound, that's going to be the case, and I don't know how long he's going to last in this rotation. The Orioles have Alex Cobb, who's not going to be able to pitch till about April 14th, so in the meantime, they're going to have Tillman and Mike Wright in the rotation. One of those guys will come out once Cobb is able to pitch. But the question is which one, because they're both pretty terrible last year, and neither of them really, from what I could tell, belongs in a major league rotation in 2018. So it's going to be whoever is the least bad, I guess, in the couple of starts they get before April 14th. Speaking of Wright, he'll be going in game two, and he'll be facing Justin Verlander, who will be making his second start, correct?
That's right, and he opened the season for the Astros, and I believe he went 5 innings and only allowed 6 earned runs. Let me go back and make sure. I mean, sorry, 6 strikeouts, no one earned runs. So it would have been a shutout that game if it weren't for Giles, but we can't blame Giles for everything. But, no, he pitched 6 innings, and he had 5 strikeouts, and he did walk 2 batters, but he looked impressive, and I think they probably could have left him in there. He only threw 90 pitches, but they decided to take him out and save him for the home game. But Verlander is a tough cookie, and especially being back at home, I think you're going to see him have a really, really strong effort and maybe go 7-8 innings.
Yeah, and like I said, the Orioles, I've mentioned that the pitching has been an issue. The hitting has also been an issue. This team has not hit at all yet this year. Even in the opening day win against the Twins, they won on an Adam Jones walk off. They had fewer hits than the Twins in that game. Only scored 3 runs in 11 innings. They've only scored, 5 total runs this year in 3 games. this is a team that the offense has been stagnant, and pitching facing good pitchers is not exactly what they need right at this moment. But it's what we're gonna get. Also in game 3, you mentioned Dallas Keuchel had a little bit of a rough outing in his first game, but he's going to be facing Dylan Bundy in game 3. What can we expect from the former Cy Young winner?
Well, I think he pitches a lot better at home, first of all. So they have Keuchel's corner over there, and he gets really motivated to pitch at home. So I think he'll be a much better version of Dallas Keuchel. He wasn't terrible. He only gave up the 3 earned runs. He did give up a homer to Mazzara, I believe it was, and he only had 4 strikeouts, but they had 7 hits, and he wasn't hitting his spots, and he only made like 3 or 4 starts in spring training, so maybe he was a little rusty, but I think coming home to Houston, I think you'll see a much better version of Dallas Keuchel, and he could go 6 or 7 innings as well, but he did go 6 innings, even though he was trailing 3-0 basically at the time. He still went 6 innings. So basically all the starters so far, with exception of Lance McCullers, have gone six innings. McCullers, I think, left with only five and two-thirds. I mean, five and one-thirds. But everybody else has basically hit six innings so far. So that's a positive sign for this Astros rotation. And maybe we won't have to use the bullpen as much.
All right, we'll get to the bullpen in just a second. But this is the one game in which the Orioles have a pitcher that they actually might have some confidence in. Dylan Bundy is going to get the ball, and he started an opening day for the Orioles and pitched seven shutout innings. Had his slider going, and when his slider's going, he's really tough to hit. And he doesn't always have it going, but he's reached an age where he's going to be more consistent about that. So we don't know exactly what we're going to get, but he's the one pitcher in this series who I have any confidence is going to be able to maybe keep runs off the board, and we'll see what happens there. But yeah, the first two games, I think, are the Astros have to be heavy favorites in those games, and maybe only slightly less favored in game three. So let's talk about that bullpen a little bit. It may not even be that relevant if the pitchers are going strong and the Orioles hitting continues the way it is, but how has the bullpen looked so far?
The bullpen has been impressive, with exception of Joe Smith and Ken Giles in the first game. Tony Sipp, he struggled, but he only allowed one run. In the past, it's been like two or three runs, but there's 6 million reasons why he's on this roster right now. And they're going to give Tony Sipp a chance to really stick with the Astros this year because they're paying him a lot of money. But they have other options if he doesn't work out. But Ken Giles pitched a much better game today. He had a 7-run lead. I know you don't typically bring your closer in a blowout game like that. But I think that A.J. Hinch wanted him to come in to get some confidence because – after what happened in the World Series with Giles, and then he struggled in the first game when he was trying to get the it was a 4-0 lead on opening day. And he gave up a run, and he looked out of sorts. So I think Hinch wanted him to try to have a good outing and go into Houston with a little bit more confidence versus what happened in opening day. So far, Rondon has looked good. McHugh pitched really good yesterday. Then you have Will Harris, but we didn't really use the bullpen at all today. We had Davinsky and then we had Giles, and that's it. So our bullpen is pretty rested, with exception of those two. So yeah, the bullpen is probably the weakest part on the Astros, but it's not the worst bullpen in the league either.
Right, and like I said, you know, if the pitchers are going deep into games and the offense is putting runs on the board, it's less of an issue than it would be for teams that have a smaller margin for error, it seems like.
I don't get Chris Davis leading off. Shouldn't Shoup be that guy, or what's the logic behind leading off Chris Davis?
You got me. I mean, nobody seems to know exactly what it is. And Buck Showalter has said that I think the exact quote is that he's not married to it.
Okay.
I think more than anything, it's like the Orioles really don't have a logical leadoff hitter. There's nobody who's really like, you know, that traditional leadoff type guy. They tend to be they tend not to have real high on base percentages. I mean, that's part of the problem,
right,
with the offense is they don't walk much. So they don't really have anybody who really fits that role of a high on base percentage guy. So I think the thinking might have been with Buck is just get him some at bats, you know, get him more at bats and a chance to see more pitches with Machado and Scope coming up behind him. Maybe he'd see more, you know, more good pitches.
Right.
I don't know. Who knows exactly what it is? I mean, when he's been good in the past, his on base percentages have been decent, but he hasn't been good the last couple of years. His batting average is so low that he even if he walks a decent amount, his on base percentage still isn't very good. So, you know, I don't know. I don't think this experiment's going to last much longer, to be honest. I'd be surprised if it lasts past this series, honestly.
So in recap, do you think that the Astros will win 2 out of 3 games, or do you think that they're going to sweep the Orioles?
If I had to guess, if I had to bet right now, I'd pick them to sweep. Because the Orioles are just playing really, really bad on all cylinders right now. They're not hitting. The pitching's been awful. Tillman and Wright are just, like I said, I mean, they're god-awful, and to expect anything out of either of those two is unrealistic. Bundy, that's the one game I think maybe they might have a chance, but again, you know, you're facing Keuchel at home, and he may very well have a great game against this offense, and even if Bundy's good, you know, the Orioles could lose 2-0 or 2-1 or something like that. That wouldn't shock me at all. So if I were betting, I would go for the sweep, and I would say I'd be shocked if it's not at least 2 out of 3 for the Astros.
Yeah, and a lot of people were down after the Astros lost that second game, but you're going to lose 62 games even if you win 100 games. So, yeah, I wasn't worried about the offense. I knew the offense would break out, and we still haven't seen a lot from Alex Bregman yet, even though he's been crushing the ball. He's just been crushing it right to out. So, Jose Altuve and Correa, they're going to cause your pitchers some nightmares because they're hot right now. They're both, I think they both had 4 hits last night, and I think they both had multiple hits today. So you're facing a hot lineup right now, and that's going to be a tough thing. But if the Astros can win 2 out of 3 games, I'll be happy, but I'm pretty sure it's going to be a sweep. But a lot of people said that it was a sweep with the Rangers, but it's hard to really get a 4-game sweep. The momentum sometimes goes the other way. So, but yeah.
You know, it's baseball. You never know. I mean, someone like Chris Tillman, as bad as he is, he's still capable of, every now and then pitching a good game. You know, so you just never know. But yeah, if certainly the odds favor the Astros in every game.
I'm excited just because this is our first time we get to see the banner, and it's going to be a very emotional game. So hopefully the Astros will be able to celebrate and then put everything behind them and focus on 2018, because that's what A.J. Hinch has been saying all spring, is that was last year. What can we do this year? And so hopefully y'all don't get a sneaky win tomorrow just because everybody's so emotional.
Well, like I said, if you have a game like that, you have a good advantage of having Chris Tillman be the opposing pitcher, because even if their emotions get the best of him, they're still gonna put up a ton of runs. I mean, he was like I said, he was terrible last year. He's terrible in the spring, and there's really no reason to believe that he's got anything left, as far as I can tell. So I'll be shocked if he's even on this team by the end of the year, to be honest. All right. Well, Eric, thank you so much for joining us. I appreciate it.
No problem. And anytime.
And that's going to do it for another edition of Locked On Orioles. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.